We're going to have some testimonies here, and wanted to do this for a few reasons. First of all, you have put a lot of work in these young people. You've prayed for them. You've supported this work financially. I think it would be good for you to see what God has been doing. We want Him to receive glory for the work that He's done. He's answered prayer. We want to make sure that He receives the glory that He's due. The other thing I wanted you to see was a few of the faces. These aren't all the people who are involved down at UGA. Some weren't back from break yet. We had two who weren't able to come. Molly, her grandfather passed away unexpectedly, and she wanted to be here desperately, wasn't able to make it. And Tina, Sam's sister, really wanted to be here, but she was sick today, so she wasn't able to come. So there were others who wanted to be here, but I wanted you to see them and to know who to pray for. They're going to tell you their name, and if they don't tell you their name, I'll tell you their name. And then they're also going to give you some ways that you might be able to pray for them. They're going to tell you how they came in contact with a group. A lot of times it was an answer to prayer. But I wanted to just say something here. There are three groups of people in this world that I'm willing to pour my life into. Number one is my family. Number two is you. Number three is them. And it has been absolutely remarkable what God has been doing. I believe that He is leading them to the point of normal Christianity, believing God for big things. I don't know the end of this story, but God's getting into it, so I know it's going to be good. So with that said, who's first? Do you want to hold her or do you want me to?
Could you hold
her? I will be glad to.
Thank you. Good evening. All right, giving honor to God and Jesus. Thank Him for me being able to stand here today, and I thank you all for having me. I'm nervous, so pray for me. Okay, I'm Carnesha, as I stated, and I'm from Mobile, Alabama. I'm a first-year graduate student at the University of Georgia. I'm studying social work. My concentration is in gerontology, which is the study of aging of older adults. And the group actually found me. It was something that I prayed for because I prayed for a friend, and I actually met two. And Matt or Carl might not remember this, but when they found me, it was at a great time because I was really down and out. UGA is very diverse, and this is very new for me. And to give you a little backdrop of me, since I can remember, I have grew up in a predominantly African-American community. So this is very new to me. So me standing in front of you is a miracle itself because I was terrified. And my very first visit to this church, I actually broke down in my car and cried because I was terrified. But when I got in here, everybody welcomed me with open arms, and I thank you all so much for that. Like, that was a blessing in itself. But anywho, as I was walking alongside with about 1,000 girls. I don't know if y'all remember that, but it was like a Greek rush. And so as I'm walking, two guys were smiling at me, and I was like, well, they're really smiling hard at those girls. But they were actually looking at me. So when they greeted me and invited me and asked me about Jesus and God, and I was already familiar with that, it was like a blessing because that's something I needed at the time. So that was a blessing. But this group has helped me. My first semester in graduate school, I had 18 hours in graduate school. That was so hard for me. And just encouraging words that God has given Pastor Matt and the group. Like, I'm very quiet. I don't say much in the meetings, but just listening to people and actually having a collective group pray for me has been helpful. And I just want to give the glory to God, as Pastor Matt said. And I thank you for helping me to acknowledge Him more instead of people. So I'm very thankful for that. And this group has been really helpful, and I just praise God for it, and hope we can reach out to other people such as myself who are nervous and scared to break out. And I ask you all to pray for me to have this courage in the classroom, because everybody is not as welcoming because of this. That's just honesty. So I just pray that you all give me the strength to speak out, to get over my fear, and Thank you all again.
Amen. Thank you, CJ. We know her as CJ. All right, who's next? Come on, Sam. Do you want to hold her or do you want me to?
Hi, my name is Sam. I'm terrified right now. That's why I'm wearing a jacket, because I'm so nervous and cold. I don't really know where to say I'm from at this point, because I was born in Boston. I lived most of my life in Lebanon. And now Savannah, Georgia is home, but I'm living here on campus, so from a lot of places. My major is pharmacy. I'm second year pharmacy school. And this group and this church has meant so much to me. It's really what kept me going through these 2 years. My first semester last year, before we found this church, Tina and I were just kind of drifting from church to church, trying to search. And going to church on Sunday was really just something that had to be done. It was a burden. It was not fun. I didn't feel like I was getting any blessings from it. And I slowly started just going lukewarm and backsliding, and ended up going to a depression first semester, and it was just horrible. And I thought that's how 4 years in pharmacy school is going to be. It's going to be just depression and study and horror. But then my dad sent me an email one day, and he's like, hey, I was looking online to help you out, and I expanded the search a bit, and I found Crook Creek Baptist, and I think you guys should try it out, because it looks like they believe the Bible straightforward, and pray about it and go there. So the next Sunday, I'm not sure if it was just me or if Tina was with me. I think it was just me, so Tina was either busy or she's always sick, so she might have been sick. If you can please pray for her, she's sick today. I ended up coming here, and you guys were so nice in welcoming me, and I immediately felt like you guys were family, and I believe the pastor preached that day, and it was straight from the Bible, and I prayed about it, and I knew that this is where the Lord wanted me to come. And then I started hanging out with these guys in the group. And I work a lot, and I work every other Sunday and almost every Wednesday. So without this group, it would be sometimes weeks before I could be with any other fellow believers or get anything out of the Bible or just be with people who are saved. So being with them on Tuesdays and Saturdays and whenever we actually hang out and in our events and everything is such a blessing to me, and it really keeps me going. So thank you, guys, and thank you, group.
Amen. Thank you. Y'all think it's worth it?
Yeah.
I do, yes. All right, who's next? All right. Come on, Heather. Or Dieter. You know, there you want me to.
I got it. Hey, I'm Heather Dieter. He likes calling me Dieter. Most people call me Heather. I think it's a pastor thing, because only pastors call me Dieter. I grew up in New Jersey. So I'm from New Jersey. I graduated high school there. I was born and I now live in Georgia. So, yeah, growing up in New Jersey was really interesting because church isn't as big of a thing, I guess, because you guys are in the Bible Belt, you know. It's the Bible Belt. You got a church around every corner. The college has, they have every group possible. I was so amazed. I was like, wait, there are 5 Bible studies. So that was really exciting for me to come here, but what I really needed was people who were really into it for God and for Christ. And I was praying that I wouldn't, and I would find other people who were living as Christians for Christ, you know? Not just going to church on Sunday because their parents always went to church on Sunday and you're supposed to go to church on Sunday. And so this group, I actually was trying to get my ID, and I walked past them. They had a table somewhere, Carl and Pastor Matt. And so I walked past them. They were like, hey, just come to our Bible study. And I was like, okay, take the card, keep walking. So I showed up to the Bible study. I was like, I don't know how this is going to go. And I made friends, and it was fun. And we really get into the Word, and it's just really good to be able to go there on Tuesdays and not only go through the Word, and then we go hang out afterwards. So it's not just about Bible study, it's about the people and the group, and so much fun and such a blessing, all you guys. And I'd like to thank everyone for their prayers for the group and stuff, because I know we're just getting off the ground, and there's so much more that God has in store for us. So.
Amen. I believe every one of these young people who have talked so far were answer to your prayers. We asked that God would bring specific people in, and He has done that. And there are more out there. There are 35,000 students on that campus. How many more are out there who are either saved and need the encouragement they need, or who are lost and are searching for answers? And if you would pray for us, tomorrow we're tabling again. You know what the weather's supposed to be like tomorrow. We're going to be outside with hot chocolate. We will be under a covering. Tuesday, it's supposed to be about 17 degrees when we go outside, but we're going to be doing hot chocolate as well, hoping to meet some people. So if y'all would pray for us Monday and Tuesday, we'd appreciate it. All right, who's next? Anyone else? Do you want me to hold it?
Yeah, you hold it. All right. You have to hold it. Hi, everybody. My name's Maddie. I'm a junior at UGA. I haven't met the vast majority of you. But I got involved with the group just by walking to class. I wasn't even looking for anybody. I don't think I was even looking up when someone shoved a journal, like, right under my face. I was watching my feet going to class. I was probably on my phone. And then this yellow journal just kind of stuck its way right in my path. And they were like, hey, do you know who Jesus is? And I said, yes, I do, actually. But I didn't have anything going on Tuesday night. So then the next day I thought, well, you know, I don't have anything to do. I might as well go. I'd love to be around, you know, fellowship and meet more people. And then, it didn't take that long for me to love this group, and mostly to love Matt. And the guidance and the friendship that he gave me was has been truly remarkable. I come from a really strict German Catholic background, and I had never had a church leader really ever sit down and talk with me or ask me how I was or even where I was in my walk with Christ, or how I felt about him, or offer me really any kind of real leadership. So I didn't even know what that looked like before I came here, and didn't know what a congregation was supposed to be before I came here and met you guys. So it's meant a lot to me. And if you would have told me back in August that I would be crying in a Baptist church, I would have laughed in your face. But alas, that is what happened. Pretty embarrassed. Sorry. Sorry, I'm kind of winging it. But I was so nervous about doing that, that if I would think about it too much, I knew I wouldn't do it. So I'm just kind of making it up. But thank you.
Amen. All right, anyone else? I'll tell y'all, that was big. Just trust me, that was big. Anyone else? Don't want to hold it up? Come on, Annabeth. You want to hold it or you want me to?
Recently, I've just felt like I was spiritually dry, and whenever someone said anything about surrendering to God, I would just kind of back away from it. I knew I had to do it. It's supposed to be like an everyday thing, and like whenever someone said anything about that, I just kind of backed away from it. And today, I almost didn't go to the Bible study thing today, the basic training thing, and I did anyway, and God showed me that I needed to surrender to Him every day, and I just told Him, okay, I'll do it.
Amen. Amen. All right, anyone else? No, come on, Craig. You want me to hold it for you?
No. Right.
For those of you who don't know who I am, my name's Craig Sick. I'm actually a Bob Jones University student. This is my home church, for those of you who don't know. A lot of you might know that the economy is horrible, but I realized over this summer that I was going to need a job somewhere off campus in the Greenville area kind of give me a little bit more financial support as I'm going to school up there. And as some of you may know, I have a little bit of experience, a little bit of background in automotives. So being automotively, mechanically minded, I was going through Greenville looking for places, you know, automotive, more parts stores like AutoZone, Advance, stuff like that, to look for a job. And the Lord was able to provide a job at AutoZone. It's no more than 3 miles from the campus, which is just astonishing, and it works perfectly with my schedule. They, you know, were looking for someone who would be willing to close the stores in the evenings, which that's the only time that works for me. So it worked out really, really well. And through that, it gave me financial support, but it also opened up doors to talk to those outside of what we call the bubble. I'm able to get outside of Bob Jones. I'm able to talk to people who I wouldn't normally get to interact with, particularly the people who are actually, you know, working with me, the managers and the coworkers there at AutoZone. So I want to thank God, first of all, for providing the job, but also providing the other opportunities that I have to share my testimony with the people at AutoZone, because being a Bible major at Bob Jones University opens up a lot of doors, because people obviously are curious, what's your major? You know, what are you doing, planning to do with your life? And so that's opened opportunities. And I want to thank God for giving me those opportunities to talk to my coworkers and to encourage those who do believe in Christ already, but also be a witness for Christ to those who may not know. So continue praying for me that I'd be able to continue talking and witnessing and encouraging those who are around me where I work.
Amen. Opportunities are everywhere, aren't they? We just don't see them a lot of times. All right, I don't want to belabor it. We want to do the sermon here and then get to prayer, but I don't want to cut anyone out either. Anyone else? All right, turn your Bibles, if you would, to Genesis 18. This is a little bit of an unusual sermon for me. I might get a little bit of audience participation in here tonight, so if you would humor me, I would appreciate it. As I was working today with these kids, I tell them this all the time, but it humbles me so much to see a group of young people who are really eager to serve God. That is just not the norm. They want to be used by God. They're eager. We had the students from UGA. The majority of the people downstairs tonight or today were young people from this church. And I know what was going on this afternoon. Football playoffs were on. That's probably where all the guys wanted to be. Sunday is nap time. Our bodies tell us that every Sunday. We know that. But they are all there. And I just really appreciate that. God has given us a core group. And I think they're starting to believe that He is going to do some big things through them. So we look at the Scripture here tonight. I pray that you'll come through to the same conclusion as well as far as your life is concerned. Genesis 18, go ahead, if you will, turn to Jeremiah 32. Put your finger there. And then in a little bit, you don't have to turn there now, we're going to go to Luke chapter 1, just so you know where we're heading. Let's pray. Lord, you know the structure of this sermon is different. The time is short. Help me to be effective. But Lord, more than anything, I crave your power. Help us to turn our focus back on you. Fully on you, realizing who you are and what you can do. We believe that you'll help us. In Jesus' name, amen. Genesis 18, verse 14. Is anything too hard for the Lord? At the time appointed, I will return unto thee according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. Now go over to Jeremiah chapter 32. Look at verse 17. Ah, Lord God, Behold, thou hast made the heaven and the earth by thy great power and stretched out thy arm, and there is nothing too hard for thee. Go ahead and turn over to Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1, verse 37. For with God, nothing shall be impossible. Do you believe that? Do you really believe that? I find in my own life, a lot of time, my experience subtly controls my beliefs. Well, God, sure, you can do that, but I've never seen you do that. So, in experience and practically, I really don't believe that He can do it because I've never seen it. Maybe you've fallen into the same pattern. Many times what happens is I don't believe deep down inside that He is going to do what He said that He would do. Many times I don't believe that He will do what He has promised that He will do. Just this past week, I had a monumental bout with a fear. It was the fear of failure. It was a very real fear. Do any of you feel fear failure? For the past few weeks, in my head, this thought has been going through. What if you stick your neck out for these students and you tell them that God will do this and that God will use them and that God will bring people to Him, to Jesus Christ through them, and that He can impact that campus through them, and He doesn't? What if you point them to Acts and say that should be the norm and it doesn't happen? They never see it. And it was a fear that I couldn't shake. That is, until I got my eyes back on who God is. God in His providence had me reading the book of Joshua, chapter 1, this past week. Joshua was facing some of the same things. Do you know how many times God in that passage told Joshua, be strong and of good courage? Be strong and of good courage. Be strong and of good courage. And this is what God told him. And it was just as true for me as it was for Joshua. It's just as true for you as it was Joshua. Listen, this is what God said. I will not fail you. Do you believe that? Now, sometimes it seems like He has, doesn't it? But He hasn't. There's a reason, there's a purpose behind it. But I will not fail you. And like a drowning man, I just grabbed onto that and haven't let go. I will not fail you. I won't fail you, Derek. I won't fail you, Maddie. I believe that. And what happens is we read these passages about, is anything too hard for God? Nothing is impossible for God. We see those and we fear the impossibilities in our life because we end up taking our focus off of God and who He is and what He's capable of doing. So we're going to look at two reminders here tonight. The first reminder is nothing is too hard for God. We just read that in Genesis 18. What was the context of that? You're familiar with it. The angel of the Lord, God Himself, had come to visit Abraham. He's talking with Abraham, and He tells Abraham, in the next year, you are going to have a child. Sarah's on the other side of the tent door. She hears it, and she laughs to herself. And I'm not saying this sacrilegiously, but this is essentially what she said. Silly God, do you know how old I am? And God, knowing her thoughts, said it loud enough so that she could hear it. He wasn't talking to her. He was talking to Abraham. Abraham, is there anything too hard for me? And a year later, what happened? Isaac was born. Jeremiah chapter 32. Turn back over there, if you will. Here's the context here. Jeremiah has been prophesying the doom of Israel. He's been saying that they're going to be taken into captivity. In this chapter, he says even the king is going to be taken away. But God does something interesting. He reflects on the fact that Israel is going to be carried away. Surely no nation will survive that. I mean, a nation as small as Israel, carried away into captivity, surely they won't survive that. How could they ever come back? How could the nation ever be established again? But God had said it would happen. And so to back it up, God sent Jeremiah on an errand. Understand, at this time, the enemies of Israel are around the capital. They are around the city. They are about to come in. God sends Jeremiah out to buy some land while the enemy was at the gate. Why would you go buy land if you were about to leave into exile? The reason God sent him to buy land when he was about to go into exile was he wanted to tell his people, "You're coming back." Jeremiah, in essence, took the deed to that property and put it in a lockbox. And he looked at everyone else. He said, "Put your deeds in lockboxes, boys, because we're coming back." And it was reflected in his prayer. Verse 17, "Ah, Lord God, behold, thou hast made heaven and earth by thy great power and stretched out arm, and there is nothing too hard for you." He believed it. Verse 18, "Thou showest loving kindness unto thousands and recompensest iniquity of the fathers into the bosom of their children after them. The great, the mighty God, the Lord of hosts is His name." So God responds to him. Look at what God says in verse 27. Jeremiah says his prayer. God responds, "Behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh." God's saying it now. "Is there anything too hard for me?" And the answer obviously is no. And so for the next few verses, God goes on to talk about how bad Israel has been. "They've forsaken me. They've gone in idolatry. They've done all of these bad things, all this wickedness. They deserve the coming invasion." But see, there was this thing that God had done in the past, this promise He had made. It was a forever covenant. "I will give you a land, and you will possess that land forever." And so God goes back to His promise, and He tells Jeremiah that He's going to keep the promise. Look at verse 37. "Behold, I will gather them out of all countries." This is after they're in exile. "Behold, I will gather them out of all countries, whither I have driven them in mine anger, and in my fury, and in great wrath. And I will bring them again unto this place, and I will cause them to dwell safely. And they shall be my people, and I will be their God. And I will give them one heart and one way, that they may fear me forever, for the good of them and of their children after them. I will make an everlasting covenant with them, that I will not turn away from them to do them good, but I will put my heart in their hearts, that they shall not depart from me. Yea, I will rejoice over them to do them good, and I will plant them in this land as assuredly with my whole heart and with my whole soul." God says, "They're coming back. I'm going to keep my promise. Nothing is too hard for me." So did Israel get kicked out? Yes. Did they come back? Yes. Is there anything too hard for God? Did Israel get kicked out of the land again? Yes. Are they back? Is there anything too hard for God? I mean, think about it. Israel was basically removed from the land not long after Jesus left. They were dispersed. I know there were still some there, but that was when the major dispersion happened. And then in 1948, all of a sudden, what happens? Is there anything too hard for God? So far, you have a 90-year-old woman that God causes to give birth. You have a nation, a small nation, that's kicked out of their nation and brought back multiple times just because God said, "I love you and I'm going to keep my promises to you." There's nothing too hard for God. Here's the second thing to remember. Nothing is impossible with God. Turn to Luke chapter 1. What's the scene here? We just read it, Christmas story. What's happened? Another older, barren woman has become pregnant. God has appeared to Mary in the form of an angel, and He said, "You are going to bear my son. You are going to bear the Son of God. And he points to Elizabeth as a proof of his power. A scared young woman named Mary can look to her cousin and say, "Wait, Elizabeth? Elizabeth is expecting?" And God points to Elizabeth and he says, "Mary, I want you to know something. With what's about to happen from you from this point forward, with God, nothing will be impossible." He's not saying right then that this thing isn't impossible. That's true. He's saying that Jesus being born isn't impossible. He's saying, "I'm coming. Once he comes, nothing will be impossible because God will be in this on the scene in the flesh." Let's look at the impossibilities that became possibilities through God becoming flesh. Well, could God become flesh? Yes. Possible. And with God in the flesh, a lot of things that were impossible became possible. Deaf people healed? Possible. Lame people made to walk again? Possible. Dumb, mute people who were unable to speak their entire life, made to speak? Possible. Demonic captives freed? Possible. Walking on water? Possible. Storms calmed with one word of the mouth? Possible. Dead people raised? Possible. Sin forgiven? Possible. Death conquered? Possible. God was in the flesh on the scene? Possible. A bunch of uneducated Jewish country folk taking over Jerusalem with preaching? Possible. 120 scared people huddled up in a room who go all over the world to where the whole known world at the time knows the name of Jesus Christ? Possible. All possible because God said it would be. He made promises. He keeps promises to those who believe them. Here's a question. Has God made promises to you? You know, there are probably a lot of things in your life that you view as an impossibility that aren't impossibilities because God has given you a promise for it. Did He promise to give you power? Possible. Did He promise to use you to bring forth fruit? No. You don't know who I am. That's just possible. He said it. Victory over sin? Possible. Using you to build His church? Possible. Glorious answers to prayer that you see them and you can't begin to comprehend what God has done? Exceeding abundantly above all that you can ask or think? Possible. But what keeps it from happening? Let me tell you, there's two things that keep it from happening. There could be other things, but these are the two root ones. First of all, lack of asking. James chapter 4, you have not because you ask not. Every unasked prayer goes unanswered. Many of you see winning someone to Jesus Christ is an impossibility in your life. Can I ask you a question, a very blunt question? Where is your focus? Is it on you and who you are and what you can do, or is it on God, the God of the possible? Are you asking Him? Another reason it happens is unbelief. You remember when Jesus went back to visit His family, His home country? He goes back to visit them, and as He's there, He was wanting to do some miracles. He was wanting to do some works there among His people. But this is what the Scripture says. It says, "And He was unable to do many mighty works there because of their unbelief." These were His own people. This was the area of His family. Were the mighty works possible? Well, yes. He was willing. He had the power. He was able. But unbelief was there. Could it be? I don't know. This is my experience. Could it be that so many times we pray prayers and we're uttering the words and they sound good, but where is the faith? Where is the belief in the God of the possible behind it? How many times do we pray and when we finish we say, well, I kind of doubt that's going to happen because it's never happened before in the past. I look around and I see students right here who want to impact the University of Georgia and impact that place and fill it with the knowledge of Christ. Can God take this young, ragtag bunch of students and use them to snatch their peers from the flames? Possible. Can He use them to disciple new believers? TJ, can He use you to disciple new believers? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Sam, can God take you and use you to bring people to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ? Maddie, can He use you? John, can He use you? Possible. Can I ask you the same question? What is it that keeps it from happening in your life? Is it God who's standing back, not willing to intervene and do the impossible in your life? You know, I was thinking about the fact that two of these statements, nothing's impossible with God and nothing's too hard for God, both of them were attached to older women giving birth, barren women giving birth. And I began to think, God could use you or these students to bring new birth into the world. I mean, if the God of the universe could make 90-year-old women have babies, do you think that He could use you to bring new people into the world spiritually? I mean, do you think that's something that He's capable of doing, especially considering the fact that that's why Jesus came? A lot of people would say, you know what? I understand what you're saying, but Jesus went back up into heaven. And I know that He answers prayer and everything. Can I tell you something? God is still in the flesh. God is still in the flesh on this earth. You know how I know that? Because He's in you. Jesus Christ is still in the flesh on this earth. I'm not saying that you are Jesus, but I'm saying He is in you. And unless somebody says, no, I don't know, Matt. Galatians 2:20. I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but who lives in me? Christ lives in me. So it's not just that you are calling out up to the God of the possible to do the impossible in your life. It is that the God of the possible now lives in you. The same Jesus Christ who lived on this earth, who healed people, who raised people from the dead, who forgave sin, who had all that power, He now lives in you. And He's willing to confront the impossibilities that He's promised to deal with in your life. He's willing to confront those and make them possible. Can God send an awakening to UGA? Possible. Can He send an awakening here around our church? Possible. But the only thing that keeps the possibilities from being reality is our lack of asking and our unbelief. We have promises for these things. We do. We can take care of the asking tonight. In just a moment, you're going to hopefully be able to come up here and pray for these students. We can take care of the asking part tonight. But in my characteristically straightforward way, the unbelief part is going to be up to you. Are you going to come up here and pray pretty words that sound good to everyone? Or are you going to get hold of God and believe Him It's a question I've got to ask myself as well. Nothing is too hard for God. Nothing is impossible with God. Do you believe it? If you don't mind, heads bowed, eyes closed.